thank you for joining Mechon Hadar's Learning of Pirkei Avot in honor of our 10th year celebration. This week's Dvar Torah is by Rabbi Ethan Tucker.
This week's Mishnayot are Mishnayot Chet and Tet, 8 and 9. Mishnah Chet. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai kibel mehilel v'shamay. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai received the tradition from Hillel and Shammai, who, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, haya omer, he would say, Im lamadata Torah harbe, if you have studied a lot of Torah, al tachazik tova latzmach, don't give yourself too much credit, ki lechach notzarta, because you were created for this reason. Chamisha talmidim hayu lo l'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai had 5 students, the Eluhain, and these are they. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus, who is the Rabbi Eliezer who we refer to when we just say Rabbi Eliezer without a patronym. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya, who is our standard Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yose HaKohen. Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. So Rabban Yochanan has these 5 very distinguished students, Rabbi Ezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who haya monesh shivchan, and he would enumerate their praises, right, the things about them that were great. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus bore sud. Rabbi Eliezer is a cistern, a well that holds water, that is sealed with plaster. She'eino me'abe tipa, which does not lose a drop. So the image of Rabbi Eliezer is someone who has a phenomenal memory, who retains all of the Torah that he was ever taught. Rabbi Yehoshua, ashrei yoladato, praiseworthy, blessed, fortunate, is the one who gave birth to him. This is, I would say, an all-around compliment. Rabbi Yehoshua is a great guy. Rabbi Yose, chassid. Rabbi Yose is exceedingly pious. Rabbi Shimon ben Netanel, yirei chet, he fears sin. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, ma'ayan hamitgaber, is a growing spring. And it's important to notice that of these 5 students, 2 of the students have descriptions that have to do with water. Rabbi Eliezer is a cistern, and Rabbi Elazar is a fountain. And these 2 water images are the only images that are associated with intellect or understanding of Torah. When we say about someone that they are a chassid, a very pious person, or a yirei chet, someone who fears sin, that does not necessarily have anything to do with their having any intellectual or Torah learning skill. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach are distinguished in these water-containing or water-producing metaphors. And these water images are also images of proficiency and productivity in Torah. Hu haya omer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai would say about his students, Im yihyu kol chachmei Yisrael bechaf moznayim, if all of the scholars of Israel are on one side, in one pan of a 2-pan scale, ve'Eliezer ben Horkunus bechaf shnia, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus is on the other side of the balance, machriat kulam, the scale would end up being heavy on the Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus side. Essentially, he's considered to be the greatest of scholars, and he, one Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus, is equivalent or greater than the whole sum, the whole collection of all of the rest of the scholars alive at that time. Abba Shaul Omer Mishmo. Abba Shaul says, presumably in the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Im hiyu kol chachmei Yisrael bechaf moznayim, if all of the scholars of Israel are on a scale, they're on one side of the scale, for Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus afi mahem, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus, the greatest of the scholars, is with them, v'Rabbi Elazar bechaf shnia, and Rabbi Elazar is on the other side, machriat kulam, the Rabbi Eliezer ben Arach is the one who essentially is equivalent to all of the other rabbis, plus Rabbi Yezer ben Horkunus. So we have a tiny machloket within Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Who does he really think is the greatest of his students? Is it Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkunus, who is the cistern that never loses a drop? Or is it Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who is this spring of increasing strength? And we don't know. We don't know if Abba Shaul's tradition is correct, or if the original tradition cited in the Mishnah is correct. And in fact, throughout rabbinic literature, these two types of the person with a phenomenal memory and the person with tremendous intellectual creativity are often pitted together. Another image for this contrast is whether someone is a Sinai, someone is the equivalent of the mountain on which the Torah was given, and someone else who is Oker Harim, someone who is able to uproot mountains and sort of grind them together. We see throughout rabbinic literature that these two types of wisdom are often contrasted and very rarely found in the same person. Mishnah Tet, Mishnah number 9. Amar Lahem. He said to them, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is speaking to his students and says, Tzu uru, go out and see. Ezo hi derech yishara, sheyitbak ba ha'adam. What is the straight path that a person should cling to? And each of his students is going to suggest what they think is the straight path. Rabbi Eliezer omer, ayin tova. Rabbi Eliezer says that the best path, the straightest path, is to be generous. Ayin tova literally means a good eye, but it essentially is a reference to someone who is generous. Rabbi Yoshua omer chaver tov. Rabbi Yoshua says that a person should be a good peer. Rabbi Yossi omer shachein tov. Rabbi Yossi says that a person should be a good neighbor. And it's interesting to see how these different paths map onto these different scholars' core attributes. Rabbi Eliezer, who contains so much wisdom, he feels that the important thing to do is to contribute your wisdom. So you want to be generous. Rabbi Yoshua, about whom we say, Ashrei Yoladato, he's just a great guy, he's looking for other great guys. He wants to be with similar peers. And it seems like we're talking about similar peers in learning. Rabbi Yosei, who's more concerned with piety than necessarily with learning, he wants a shachein tov. He wants to either be or be near a very good influence. And it seems that the designation of shachein has actually nothing to do with qualities of learning, but actually what it means to live in society with other people, going the extra mile to be the kind of person that others want to be around. We continue with the two remaining students. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Haro'eh et hanolad, one who was able to see or anticipate that which will be born. That is someone who plans for the future. And Rabbi Shimon, we know, is the Yirei Chet. He's the one who fears sin, right? And a fearing sin mentality is the mentality of someone who says, even though I want to do this now, I'm not going to do this now because I'm able to see that in the grand scheme of things, I don't actually want to do this. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, Lev Tov, having a good heart. And the Mishnah is in the middle of the transition from thinking of the Lev, the heart, as the seat of wisdom, and our modern notion that the Lev is the seat of emotion. So probably the best way to understand Lev Tov is someone who has good intuition, someone who is good-natured, someone who basically fits right on the line between having good feelings and having good knowledge. Amar Lahem, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai again says to his students, Ro'eh ani et divrei Elazar ben Arach, I see the words of Elazar ben Arach, meaning his words seem to me to be the best. Shebichlal devarav divreichem, because in his words, your words are included. And this also points to our understanding of Lev Tov as being this bridge between having good moral habits, like being a shachein tov, a good neighbor, and having good learning habits, like being a chaver tov, a good learning partner. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach has this moral quality where he actually tries to combine those two, combine the human and the personal with the intellectual. Amar lahem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai continues to prod his students. Tzu'u uru'u, go out and examine, go out and see. Ezohi derech ra'ah, shitrachek mimena ha'adam. What is the bad path from which a person should distance themselves? And you will not be surprised to hear a lot of the opposite of the five opinions that we had before. And so here, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, ayin ra'ah, having a bad eye, meaning being stingy. Rabbi Hoshua Omer, chaver ra. Rabbi Hoshua says, a bad colleague. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, shachin ra, a bad neighbor. And when we get to Rabbi Shimon, who said, haro'eh etanolad, someone who is able to see into the future, we're able to get an example of someone who is not taking the future into account. Rabbi Shimon says, haloveh ve'eino mishalim, one who borrows but doesn't pay back, right? Someone who is very here-focused, very now-focused, is going to think, I need the money now. I'm going to ask for the money now. But they don't see what's coming in the future. They don't have a plan for being able to pay back the money. And therefore, someone who is not able to anticipate the future, the concrete manifestation of that is someone who borrows money but isn't able to pay it back. Echad halovem min ha'adam, and Rabbi Shimon continues to say that one who borrows from a person, kilovem min ha'makom baruchu, is like someone who borrows from the omnipresent, may he be blessed, i.e. from God. And he quotes a verse from Tehillim, Love rasha velo yishalem. An evil person will borrow and will not pay back. Vitzadik chonein v'notein. And a tzadik, on the other side, will be gracious and will give. The place of God in this pasuk, presumably, is Rabbi Shimon understands that the entity who is tzadik, who is righteous and gives freely, is God. Essentially, God has to come in and step in for the person who doesn't pay back. God has to make sure that the person who extended the loan doesn't have a loss. So God is the tzaddik who balances the books. And therefore, somebody who borrows from another person and doesn't pay back is essentially someone who borrows from God, because the loan obligation gets transferred to God. We have one opinion left. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, Rabbi Elazar says, Lev ra, the path from which a person must distance themselves is having a bad heart, bad intuition, and presumably following those bad intuitions. Amar lahem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai again says, Ro'eh ani et divrei Elazar ben Arach. I see Rabbi Elazar ben Arach's words. Shebechlal divarav divreichem. Because encompassed in his words are yours. I would just like to add that the little machloket between Abba Shaul and the first version of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, where they're talking about the relative merits of Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus versus Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, might be influenced by this later Mishnah, where we have two questions presented by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai about the good path and the bad path for life. And at the end of his five students' responses, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai praises Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. So you could imagine a tradition arising where when Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is praised, a tradition would come in and say, oh, no, you mean Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Another way of understanding that machloket is we know that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus is the image of the person who has a tremendous amount of knowledge. And Rabbi Elazar ben Arach is the image of the person who has a tremendous amount of creativity. And you could imagine that when you're weighing all of the scholars of Israel, well, then you would want the person who's the greatest scholar to be the image on the other side of the scale,
to be the greatest, to be the greatest rabbi who outweighs them all. But then when you're talking about a person's path in life, when you're talking about real world applications and what it means to go through the world, then it's possible that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, his quality of creativity, would end up coming more into play. And Abba Shaul might be arguing, you think that intellectually you can sort of have a trove of information without a lot of creativity and still be successful as a scholar? You're wrong. The same attribute that you need in order to be successful as a person going through the world, a person who is choosing a derech yeshara, a straight path, or a derech ra'ah, a negative path, that is the same quality of wisdom that we need to use when we assess any scholar.
So these two Mishnayot feature Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, really the founder of what we know as post-destruction, the end of the Second Temple, rabbinic Judaism. He receives his traditions from Hillel and Shammai and has many students of his own. Let's start, though, with what he says before we get to his students. And this is a really, I think, hauntingly powerful statement by Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he says that if you've learned a lot of Torah, don't count it as something special in your column, ki lechach notzarta, because that's what you've been created for. This is a kind of very intense way of denying people any sense of great accomplishment for what they've done. There's something, actually, it sounds kind of harsh about this. Someone studies a tremendous amount of Torah, one would think that you would commend them and tell them to actually feel very good about themselves. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, no, ki lechach notzarta, for this you were created. I think you can read that in at least two different ways that are potentially very important for thinking about learning, but also perhaps about talents we've been blessed with in life more generally. The first notion is, lechach notzarta, you were created for this. This is a Mishnah that conveys tremendously high expectations. Here it's locally around Talmud Torah, around the study of Torah. It's just expected that you will study Torah. God, as it were, gets that for free. You do not get special credit for showing up and fulfilling your obligations. What it is to be an engaged and serious Jew is to be studying Torah. And while there's something potentially deflating about that kind of articulation, there's something immensely powerful about the high expectations that lie behind it. When we really expect things from people, part of what that means is we don't then go around and laud them for simply meeting those expectations, suggesting perhaps that we're so grateful to them for going above and beyond the call. This is the call for people to study Torah. And there's something here about Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, the founding member of the generation of Yavne and the rabbinic project, setting a very high bar and saying the world that we're going to create here is going to have high expectations of people. I think it's an interesting principle to think about that in all kinds of contexts of life. What are the things that we really, you know, appreciate that people go the added mile to do? And what are the things where we're not ungrateful for people taking various things on and investing a lot, but we expect it of them and don't accord it as a particularly righteous act. The other piece here, though, which is another way of reading Lechach Notzarta, might be much more personal, which is to say, if you have managed to learn a lot of Torah, don't think of it as some specific, amazing talent that you have that you feel very, very proud of, but rather think of it as a talent that you were created with, that was bestowed on you, a kind of God-given mission that you're expected to use for the benefit of the community. And that's captured in that word, lechach notzarta. You have been created for that purpose. The Mishnah moves on to talk about Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai's five students. And here he extols them in various ways. But interestingly, he singles out three of them for what seem like they are character traits, but the other two are extolled for what seem to be intellectual characteristics. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach perhaps can be read a little broader as not just being a intellectual category, but perhaps something about his personality. That's a sort of enduring font of renewal. But there is something interesting here about Rabban Yochanan Zakkai's ability to pick out the things that are great and distinctive about these different characters, even though they may come from very different aspects of life or their human personalities. The most striking contrast is, of course, Rabbi Eliezer versus Rabbi Elazar. And these two different images represent actually two very potentially different pathways for the entire rabbinic project. Is the goal to be a plastered cistern that never loses a drop? That's an image of someone who retains everything they've ever learned, and they are a kind of passive receptacle for what other people fill them up with. We know elsewhere Rabbi Eliezer boasts in Talmudic literature, or it is boasted about him, Shelo amar davar shelo shama mipi rabo meolam. He never said anything that he had not heard from one of his teachers. And that's a sense of deep loyalty and faithfulness to the past, and a sense that what my job is actually to curate the things that I've received from others. Rabbi Elazar's image is obviously dramatically different. The spring may look very different depending on what is gushing out of it, and it kind of knows no bounds, and it will be contributing all kinds of energy and innovation to the environment around it, not simply receiving things from the outside. Of course, the danger with that model is that it's potentially unstable. In its innovation, it potentially doesn't really preserve anything it receives from the past. And indeed, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, there seems to be a competition between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai himself seems to say, Eliezer ben Hurkanus, Rabbi Eliezer, if stacked up against all the sages of Israel, would outweigh them all. And that seems to be a clear statement that what Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai thinks is needed at this moment in time is a kind of culture of scholarship that preserves that which is received from the past, or at least an acknowledgement that that trait of learning will ultimately be able to preserve everything else. Abba Shaul, by contrast, seems to actually say that not only is Rabbi Elazar ben Arach the person I would pick to go up against all the other sages, but even if you throw in Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus, your favorite Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach will win. And that seems to be a vote for a kind of innovation and creativity being the most valuable element of the rabbinic project. Mishnah doesn't get the last word on this. It's interesting that the Talmud seems to have a rejoinder to Abba Shaul. It tells the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Arach going off to a faraway land and getting so involved in the pleasures of that place that he completely forgets all of his Torah. And only after the other sages pray for him does his learning come back. And that too may be an implicit critique of the Ma'ayan HaMitgaber model, the font that keeps on giving, the kind of personality that can constantly think about new perspectives on things, can also potentially be led astray and distracted and potentially abandon a focus on learning altogether. The Mishnah goes on and then talks about character traits in a much more serious way, where Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai asks his students this kind of paired set of questions, which is, what's the best straight path that a person should cleave to? And what is the worst path that a person should distance himself from? But I want to point out two things in this Mishnah that I think are interesting. One, which particularly resonates with me in today's world, there is a difference between the answer of a chaver tov and a shachen tov, being a good friend and being a good neighbor. Perhaps one of the most destabilizing things going on in our world today, particularly with the advent of electronic communication and even electronic community, is the increasing divide between the people who are our friends and the people who are our physical neighbors. And while that is now reaching proportions that in some ways are totally unprecedented in human history, what I like about this Mishnah and the debate between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yose is a recognition that even back in their pre-electronic time, being a friend and a neighbor are hardly the exact same sort of relationship. And for Rabbi Yehoshua, it's actually the friendship model which is the key to having an upstanding and fulfilling and righteous life. It's about identifying people who you have bonds with. There's some chibur, some connection with them that is deep in a way that will enable you to build something in society. Rabbi Yose has a different view where it's the shachen. It's actually the person who lives next door and the ways in which you are kind and reinforcing to them. And that ultimately is what builds the right kind of society. And that debate does not get resolved here, but perhaps the fact that it's articulated as two different categories can remind us in our own world where those diverge more and more to think about which of those paths creates what in the world. But the striking piece here is Rabbi Shimon, who has two statements about the good and the bad that are not self-evidently opposite to one another. Is it possible to see these two as somehow actually being mirror images? How is a ro'eh tanolad, how is someone who sees the future in some way, anything more than clairvoyant? How does that contribute something positive to the world such that one should try to be someone who sees the future? I would suggest that the contrast here really relates to the ability to see beyond the is and to head into the ought, to see beyond the limited capacities of people who are in front of us, the limited opportunities that I seem to have at the moment, and actually to imagine something larger. In this sense, the two categories are opposite. The loveh ve'eino meshalem, the someone who borrows but who does not pay back, their motivation for not paying back is they cannot imagine how they will ever have it any better than at this moment right now. It seems that by paying back the loan, they will simply put themselves back into a situation of vulnerability, and therefore sticking with the moment and their momentary security with this added capital on hand, they are willing to disregard their obligations and the thing that they should do at the moment. The ro'eh tanolad, the one who sees the future, is actually able to pay back loans even when it is difficult to do so, because there is a broader perspective that the world may look different 5 years from now, 10 years from now. My life may take a course in which the events of the present are actually not in any way necessarily indicative of what will play out in the future. And in this sense, it is also a character trait like the others. The ro'eh tanolad is not just praising someone who happens to be able to have the skill to predict elections and future events and all sorts of other things that go on. It's actually someone that comes with a certain generosity of spirit to the people and the circumstances that they meet, not imagining that they are destined to always be in their current state. And this, I would suggest, also explains how Rabbi Elazar can be extolled by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai as somehow capturing all the other aspects, all the other dimensions of the pathways articulated by the fellow colleagues. A lev tov, a kind of generous spirit, gets you to a certain generosity generally, gets you to be a good friend to other people, gets you to be a good neighbor, but also actually enables you to see the future. Because the ability to see the future is nothing less than being generous towards the present. And similarly, a lack of imagination, a lev ra, someone who does not have that ability to extend to others, is going to always be looking out for themselves, holding back, being miserly, not being a generous friend or neighbor, and ultimately, when they need to pay things back to other people, will be afraid that because it hurts me in this moment, it's unimaginable how it might help me or be part of a larger spate of good fortune in the future. In that sense, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach truly articulates something about which we can say, Bichlal Dvarav Divrechem. Included within his formulation are the formulations of all of his other colleagues and friends.
For more opportunities to be involved in our 10th year celebration, please visit mechonhadar.org/siyum, join us on Thursday, March 2nd for our Siyum celebration and be a part of our first ever National Shabbaton from March 3rd through 5th, 2017.